Genesis chapter 12, I'm sorry. Genesis 12. So last week we talked about the problem between Abraham's crew and Lot's crew. And the problem was so much of an issue that they had to split up. I don't know if I read this verse, but there's one verse I want to leave with you guys. And just make a note of it. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And it says, Rick, are you able to bring my lavalier up a little bit? Just so that I don't have to work quite as hard. It says, do all that you can, thank you, to live in peace with everyone. So I'll repeat that again. Romans 12, 18, everybody. Do all that you can. The King James Version says, in as much as lies within you, that's what you might be more familiar with. In as much as lies within you, live peaceably among all men. Okay, be at peace. So the point is that saying here through Paul, the writer, just keep short receipts. Don't start a fight. Don't start drama. Don't create just conflict because you can. He's saying it's do everything you can to be at peace. Resolve. And I love the way Abraham, who was in charge, Abraham was the one that got the promise. He said, look, Lot, you take the best. You pick whatever you want. Pick whatever side of the countryside you want to have to take your cattle, your men, your ranch, and you set up camp there, and I'll take whatever's left. What a spirit. What an attitude. I mean, he was in charge. He was the uncle. The covenant, the promise was made to him, but yet still he extends this amazing amount of latitude and courtesy and grace to his nephew Lot. I think Abraham is a superhero for sure. Okay, so let me just read a couple other things. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says this, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So this was a promise to Abraham, and by extension, to Isaac and to Jacob and to Israel at large. Let's jump down to Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, and here's what it says. Then the Lord took Abraham outside, or Abram, outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, that's the Lord telling Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession. All right? Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. So the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. By the way, this descendants here, this is speaking of Hebrews, Jews. This is not to be spiritualized. This is not the church. There is a difference, a very distinct difference between the church and between Israel, the nation, the family of Israel, as the Lord is recording here. So the promises, all the promises that were given to Abraham cannot be automatically or spiritualized as promises for the church. Two distinct entities that God is dealing with. And I'm going to show you that here in a second. Here's what it says in 15:18. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land now occupied by the Canaanites, the Kenizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Raphaelites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And as Mark said once during Sunday school over on the other side, and the websites. So I'm gonna ask Marcus, if you'll put up, just put up one of the maps. I wanted to share, I thought this was kind of appropriate because we're talking about the promise that went to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, Israel. And all of this stuff that's going on since October 7th, 2023, with the invasion or the attack by Hamas, the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip against Israel. And I thought this is a good time to show you from this lesson, just what this conflict is about and where it's at and how amazing it ties into scripture. So this, I don't know if you can see all of this. It may be kind of small for you at some places, but I want to show you that here in the green, you may not can see anything but colors, but this green color, this green map on this map, this is the land that God promised Abraham in this passage. If you harmonize this with Joshua chapter 1, verse 4, you'll get the boundaries. You see this purple line going around? That is the boundaries of the land that God promised Abraham. The Israelites, that's their inheritance. By the way, Israel itself is, let me just see if I can see it. Israel is right here, in this area. It's the size of the state of New Jersey. Very small amount of land, surrounded by all of these hostile nations. Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Afghanistan, all of these nations that are surrounding Israel. If you bring up the next map, Marcus, I want to just show you a more modern map here. Okay, so this is kind of like a little more detail of the other one. Can you do the next one as well? Okay, all right, I wanted you to see this map, right? I put two maps side by side, and I gave you the verses, Exodus 3:8. This is God, again, defining the land that's Israel. So this whole land is about 110 miles at its most narrow point. That's like driving from here to Columbus. It's a very small amount of area. It's amazing that these wars that have been going on since 1948, 1967, the Six-Day War, the wars going on more recently, and the current one going on today between Hamas and Israel, is right in this land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob way back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, and is repeated throughout 15, throughout 16, throughout chapter 17, all the way into Exodus, and all the way up into the book of Judges. You see these promises defining this land. This is in green. So Israel today should include, according to what God promised, and I put these nations down here. I want to make sure I don't miss any of them because I just think it's just a really important, an important part of God's heritage to them and that's relevant today. And on a modern map, it would include all of this, which is called the West Bank. You can see it over here, but I'm going to show you the Gaza Strip here in a minute. This is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 4. And the West Bank, this area, over here is Egypt. The border should be Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and Iraq. So this area from the Mediterranean Sea to here is what God is talking about in his promise. I'm not sure of those lines, but that's okay. You can see the gist of it. What I wanted you to see is that this little thing right here, that's called the Gaza Strip. That's part of the land that God gave to Abraham and the Jews by extension, all the way back in Genesis 12. This is where this war that started October 7th, 2023, this is where this war is going on between Israel and Hamas. And the Bible talks about these wars, these conflicts against God's people And I know right now Israel as a nation, the Jews pretty much as a race is blinded, and they're in denial of God. They do not accept Jesus as Messiah. They do not accept the New Testament. They do not accept salvation through Jesus alone, as it says in Acts 4:12. They aren't on board yet nationally. Yes, there are pockets. There are Messianic Jews. There are Jews that have converted. There are Jews that are believers. But as a nation, as a whole, they're still in disbelief of Jesus as Messiah. But God's promise stands. It still stands. And this land, as it's outlined here in our lesson, is still in effect to this day. And they are only occupying a very small portion. And this war is even a smaller strip of land. Essentially, it's almost like beachfront property. And all of these lives, all of this, you know, as the media would say, all of this genocide, all of this loss of life, all of this carnage is over this little strip here, this little Gaza strip that Israel in the 60s provided or gifted to what are known as Palestinians, which is not actually a technical term because there is no such race. It's a combination of many Islamic people, Arabs, and other nations that occupy this territory. But God provided that to Abraham at the very beginning in the book of Genesis. And that land is still in existence today, and it's still this promise that God gave. All you see here in green, that still has not been fulfilled yet. That is still under development in terms of Israel coming into this inheritance, enjoying this promise. Hey, Marcus, can you show me the last map, and I'll be done with this part of it. There's one more that I wanted everyone to see if possible. This you can stop right here. Wait, go back to that one if you will. So I got this map from the United States State Department. This is the map that our military and State Department uses to define the part of Israel that is occupied right now. You can see the Gaza Strip right here. And what was amazing to me is that you can see these cities that are in the Bible that are mentioned. You can see Nazareth and Jerusalem. You can see Beersheba. You can see Tel Aviv is not mentioned in the Bible, but you can see some of the other Syria is mentioned in the Bible. We can see here this West Bank. This is area that if you look at God's word, especially in Genesis chapter 16 and Genesis chapter 17, God defines these boundaries for Abraham, and he says, this is the land that God gave Israel, including everything from the Nile River in Egypt to Lebanon, and everything from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River, east and west. So I want to show you one more thing, and I'll let it go. Marcus, could you show me that last map, please? Okay, so this is a more modern map of Israel. You can see the Golan Heights. There was a war that Israel had back here too with the Palestinian Liberation Army some years ago. You can see in here Tel Aviv, the current capital of Israel. You can see Jerusalem. You can see here once again the Gaza Strip, this little piece of land there in purple, and how small this is, and how this real estate is probably some of the most contested real estate on the planet. It's not that it's the most valuable in terms of resources. You know, there's no, to my knowledge, there's no gold or oil or gas deposits or precious minerals or stones. There's nothing like that. It's not like it's a major port. It's not like it's a major channel. It's not an industrial, you know, mega place. It's just this little strip of land. And you wonder, why is it so fought over? Why is there so much war in Israel all the time? They're always, even if it's not a full-fledged declared war, there's conflicts, there's attacks, there's all types of terrorism that goes on. There's always some sort of carnage and life and death circumstances. And I believe the answer is in Scripture, because there is a hatred for God's people. There is a war against God's word. There is a war against what Scripture calls the truth, or God's promise, his covenant to Abraham, which was not just a spiritual covenant, But it was a land covenant. This area that God promised is his promise to Abraham, which will come true. Probably, in my understanding of scripture, probably not until the millennial period. It probably will not come true. They probably will not fulfill this promise before the Lord returns. But I believe that this will be the area that God will provide for Israel according to his promise to Abraham. Our job, I believe our job is this. The Bible says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. I believe that as believers, our job is to believe God's word, believe God's promises, not only then, but God's promises now. What he promises to us in this day and age, and what he promised to God, what he promised to those during Abraham's time, during this time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the land that they lived in. Thanks, Marcus. That's all I need for that. So let me wrap this up by reading just a couple more scriptures that I think really defines what God is saying in this. In Genesis 17, the Bible says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. He says, here's two commands which I think we can take home with us today. He says, serve me faithfully. All right? Mm-hmm. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. He says, I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee you countless descendants. At this time, Abraham, I'm in verse 3 of Genesis 17. Abraham fell face down on the ground, and then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham. Abram, by the way, is Hebrew for father. Abraham is Hebrew for father of multitudes, father of many. And he says, I will make you the father of multitudes of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer, okay, instead you'll be father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. And we know that came to be, and it's still in process. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. Here's what I wanted you to see. This is an everlasting covenant, it says in verse 7. I will always be your God, and you, I will always be your God, and the God of your descendants after you. I will give you the entire land of Canaan, and that land of Canaan included all of that area that I was showing you, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever. In other words, there are no statute of limitations. God's promise is solid, it's forever, it's eternal. It's not conditional, and it's not provisional. It says, and I will be their God. And finally, God says in Genesis chapter 18, yes, verse 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's just a good place to stop, because I think that summarizes what God is doing, what God has done and will do. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah and Abraham having a child at age 90 and 100. God promising a man that had no kids that he would become the father of many, 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 many nations, so much so that he said, look at the stars, count them if you can. That's how many descendants you're gonna have. He said, look at the sand on the seashore, count it if you can. That's gonna be your descendants. And whether that's hyperbole or not, the point that the Lord was making is that I'm gonna give you an inheritance that you cannot define, that you cannot number, that you can't describe. And God did, and so Abraham, you know, and Sister Annie and Gloria pointed out to me that in Genesis 17, that not only, we know in Genesis 18 that Sarah laughed, hence Isaac's name was laughter, it means laughter in Hebrew, or he who laughs, but Abraham also laughed. This was hilarious. that a man this old and a woman this old could bear one child, much less be the mother and father and patriarch and matriarch of many, many nations, many, many people. But the factor of it is that why it's possible is that the Lord says in Genesis 18, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And that's a good promise for us to take home this week.
Yes, yes.
Whatever you're going through, whatever impossibilities you are confronting, whatever enemy the enemy has put in front of you that's challenging you, that's providing a roadblock for you, that's providing a restriction for you, that's making it impossible for you to seemingly make a move or do what God wants you to do or be at peace, to be healthy or to have wealth, to have the ability to meet your responsibilities financially and physically. It's, the Bible says that, is there anything too hard for him?
Yes.
And it's a rhetorical question, right?
Yes.
It's a rhetorical question.
Yes. Hallelujah.
No, there's nothing too hard. There's nothing too hard. Basically, it's a question that answers itself. It's a resounding no. God can do whatever he wants. With man, things are impossible. But with God, Matthew 19, and looking at them, Jesus said, with people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. So this promise that God made to Abraham, you know, possibly some 4,000 years ago, even though it may seem ancient and archaic, it may seem out of reach for us, what's relevant for us is that God's promises stand even to this day for all of us. What he's promised us, what he's doing in your life, how he's working in your life right now, it's relevant, it's important, it's real, and you can trust him. Amen?
Yeah.
You can trust God. And I think that's the takeaway. Lord, I just trust you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing in my marriage, in my relationships, with my kids, with my job, with my health, with my finances. Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand the disconnect. I don't understand the frustrations I'm having. But I know that you can do all things. And the takeaway from God's word is that I can trust you. I can trust your word. I can trust your promises. I can trust that things are not going to be this bad always. I'm not going to have these specific challenges and problems always. Things are going to get better. This too shall pass. I can trust that. I can rely on that. Amen? And I think that if there's nothing else that we get from this historical lesson of God's promises and covenants and his commitments to Abraham and the children of Israel by direct extension, we can know that God, it can be trusted.
Yes.
And God is going to honor his word, and there's nothing that's too hard for him. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We just ask that you will just give us a confidence, Lord. Give us a peace about who you are and what you can do and what you have already done in our lives. Give us a peace, Lord, about our struggles and our challenges with our health, with our finances, with our relationships, with our family, with our spouses, with our coworkers, with our neighbors in our community. Give us a peace, Lord, that says whatever issues I'm encountering, you are there for me. You will see this thing through. I can count on you. My faith in you is beyond the scope of this problem. My faith is bigger than my problem. You are bigger than my problem. You are able to solve our problems, and our trust is in you. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In this service today, may you be glorified. May you be glorified in our lives. May you be glorified in our efforts, in our homes, and in our communities. And Lord, we ask that your people be edified in all that we do and say this morning as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Any questions?